Right. Well, as I say, where was I? 2 weeks ago, just started to look at the book of Hebrews. And today, if you're following in your Bibles or you want to follow this up with readings from Hebrews, you will find that today we are concentrating on chapters 6 and 10. They pick up similar themes, so we'll be looking to them. Let's find out first of all, got all these instruments at the front here that Esther and Heidi have had to persevere with, and Darren and Christina as well. They learnt it and had to persevere, and still had to persevere. Who here started learning an instrument and gave up? Who started piano and started piano? Piano and gave up? Yes. And any other instruments? Saxophone and gave up. Any others who started an instrument and gave up? Rob? Oh, clarinet, yeah. Right. Oh, you've given that up now, have you? Yeah. Yeah, wait. But not yet. That's not on the list then anymore. We, John? Oh, guitar. Right, yes. Well. A beautiful saxophone piece. Absolutely brilliant. It's a good one, isn't it? If you're going to learn one, that's the one. Yes. But the thing is, everything takes practice. And if we don't keep it up, we just fall back. We go back to where we were. We often pick up very little of it. We go back to our old routines. Time's our own. And we don't have to spend that time practicing. Now, a bit like that with the Hebrews. These people who this letter is written to, they are, many of them were practicing Jews who'd become Christians. And many of them were also those who'd had followed other practices and other religions. They also had become Christians. And they were, well, they learned what we went through a couple of weeks ago. They remembered the supremacy of Jesus. They're reminded of it. Look, it's Jesus. It's all or nothing with Jesus. He is God's complete and total answer for us. He is the way for us. He shows the way for us to live. He is life, and there is no other. And they got that. Now, their commitment and dedication to their growth in the Christian life is going to be put under scrutiny because some of them had started to go off the boil. And just like your music practice, if you go off the boil, you don't pick it up again, you don't know how to do it again, you lose the skill anyway, and it becomes just a thing of history. So what about them? Well, how are they doing with living out the Christian life? Still on the go? Still running with it? Or gone off somewhere else? Well, let's have our reading from chapter 10, which Rob is going to come and bring to us.
And it's verses 32 to 39. Remember those earlier days after you'd received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Amen.
passage brings together what we're going to look at this morning. Well, things show promise. We don't know how they're going to work out, but they show promise. Nuclear fusion reactors. Ooh, this is free energy if we can get it to work. Can we recreate what's going on in the sun and all the physics that's going on there and all the chemistry that's going on there? Can we recreate it to produce lots and lots of heat in one place that will then drive turbines, which will then give us electricity? Can we do it? There's people all over the world trying. Chinese are trying. Americans are trying. European consortium trying. It's a race. It might be a race that ends up with nothing. But there's certainly lots of promise. There's lots of potential in there. It might happen. AI medicine. Could AIs produce super drugs that are more effective than the ones we have now? Can we? Don't worry. AI machines are thinking. They're working hard. Can we do it? It's a maybe. How about that one? The brain electronic interface, the computer interface with your brain. If so, will you have a chip put in? Would you do it? You would if you've lost control over parts of your body and that gives you access to it. There's little bits of hints that it can work and it is working for some. A lot of potential, maybe. It's showing promise. Well, we decided in our reading, these people, these young Christians, Christians who've been Christians for a little while, they're showing promise. He said, we are not among those who shrink back and so lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved. They are showing promise. We're not talking about those who have fallen away. We're talking about those who are still with it. And they can do it. They haven't got there yet. Rather like our examples around there. They haven't got there yet. But they can do it. Now, most of you are British. And we know that as British people, we do not like extremes, do we? We like everything in moderation. That is the British way. Don't like too much of anything. And maybe that's true of our faith as well. We are Christians, but in moderation. Now, when I worked in an electronics lab, I used to have I was quite young then, and I had someone even younger than me who was the apprentice boy, the YTS trainee. And we used to often talk about all sorts of things. And he knew I was a Christian, and he thought it was quite bizarre. And after a year or so of working with me, he described me as a radical. I thought, me, a radical. He said, yeah, you're obsessed with this Christianity thing. You're a real radical. And I thought, well, I struggle to live out my life in that sort of factory environment and certainly to declare my faith. And I would shrink if people sort of turned on me in the staff canteen and started to want to pull apart my faith. He said I was a radical. Someone from Messy Church, who was a non-churchgoer, described me as a bit full on. We just talk about things that matter, and he talks as much as I talk. And I am a bit full on. I thought, well, that is a bit rich. I've never seen it, because if anything, in my faith, I've always had to battle against the British reserve and live out my faith in the public arena in moderation. When we're under real pressure, when our faith is really being tested, whatever it is, we have a starker choice. And that's the choice facing the people for whom the letter to the Hebrews was written. Their choice is this. You either shrink back or you live your faith to the full. The tougher things get for you, the more there is no area in between where you can negotiate maybe a bit of moderation. It is one or the other. And they have got to live their life to the full. We often shrink back from talking about death. But the fact that we are all mortal and will all die one day is something that reminds us that, well, we only have one life. Therefore, however much time we have, make the most of it. Not faffing around or compromising, but make the most of our life, living out our faith, walking with Jesus. Chapter 6, from verse 9 onwards. Even though we speak in this way, beloved, here's the positive, we are confident of better things in your case, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love that you've showed for his sake in serving the saints as you still do. And we want each one of you to show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope to the very end, so that you may not become sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So the writer of this letter is saying, you can do it. Look, you've been doing good things. It's been great. You've been serving God, and God has taken note. God is not your taskmaster. God's seen the fact that you are trying to live out your faith. You've been doing it. You've been doing it successfully. That's great. Just keep going. Don't be a slug. Where is home? They might become sluggish. Don't be like one of them. Don't be a slug Christian and avoid that slug trap. Imitate the best that you see of people living out their Christian lives. Grab onto it, and the promises are yours. What is the difference between a shark and a dolphin? Anyone know some differences between sharks and dolphins? Teeth, right, okay. Who has the sharpest, actually? They do, yes. Because of ram ventilation is the technical term, yes? They have to keep, sharks have to keep swimming. Most sharks, there are some nurse sharks, I believe, that can stay still for a while, but yes, they do. Any other differences? All right, very, very good. That's kind of, that's a vet definition. Yeah, yep. One can eat you and one can't, yes. So many sharks have to keep going all the time, keep moving. They can't sleep. If they sleep, down they go, they sink, and they suffocate. So they just keep moving. Dolphins can, well, they've got to come up to breathe, haven't they? But if they want to, they can swan around, do nothing, sink, doesn't matter. They're okay. Dolphins, apparently, they want to sleep, can shut down half their brains. Can you assure me now that you're not doing that? Christians are sharks or dolphins. Christians are sharks. You stop with your faith and you sink. You stop with your faith and you will suffocate from lack of Jesus. Christians are sharks. But he looks at you, the Lord looks at you, says, for God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love that you've showed for his sake in serving the saints, as you still do. You need to be a shark moving all the time in your faith, expressing your faith in whatever way you can, in your circumstances, according to your gifts and abilities, according to your health and your circumstances. There's always a way to follow Christ and to be faithful. Don't give up. Do not give up, because Christians are sharks. Within chapter 6 and chapter 10, there are some verses that are disturbing. They're disturbing for many Christians when they come across them for the first time, or even the umpteenth time. It disturbs Christians who are Bible scholars, and you get into the wording and the theology and the implications of our belief. Because this is what it says, and similar things as well in chapter 10. For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have been enlightened. It goes on. Those who have been enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, have shared in the Holy Spirit, have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and have fallen away, since on their own they are crucifying again the Son of God and holding him up to contempt. Very fearful passage. Can you lose your salvation if you stop and sink? If you fall away, is there any way back? Well, Christians are divided over that. I'll say you can never lose your salvation, God. This refers to a group of people of which there are none in that group who are totally lost. Others will say, yes, you can. So beware, it's possible. People will say, I know someone who fell away for many years, or it might be your own story, and came back to faith. It seems to be possible. What is the answer? We're not going to go into that at all. Except to say that the warning is there. You know, it's possible to throw it all away, effectively. Wow. And so for some, it might be an impossible way to get back on that Christian path. Well, the thing is, it just means you can't take it lightly. It's not a passage you can glance over. Not a book you can just say, oh yeah, Hebrews, yeah, not my favorite. Some really key things in there. You're a shark. And if things get demanding, if things get overwhelming, keep going just as you have done before. Beware giving up. And are you living as a shark Christian? Is your faith being lived out? Remember, there's no in between. Moderation. There we are. That's an experience some of us have had, being on the seafront in the last few years, wherever we are, being blown around and really taken away during a gale. I'm always impressed by really strong winds. I mean, I'm stupid as well with it. And that is, I'll go to places where you could be blown over the edge or blown into the sea. I think, but no, isn't it amazing? Isn't it wonderful how we could just be moved around against our will? No, it's dangerous as well. So what you need is you need to be well roped. So we read, we have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain, where Jesus, a forerunner on our behalf, has entered. Here's the deal. Keep on track with Jesus. He'll anchor you in. He does anchor you in. Biggest danger is falling into some sort of spiritual stupor in your soul. It's been easy to do. We celebrate today to celebrate. We mark today 5 years since lockdown. And since then, it has been a struggle for many people in many aspects of life to get going again. That's true of people's faith as well. Not quite as buoyed up as you were beforehand. It's not quite as easy. It's, for whatever reason, it's been tough. Easy to continue in that way and just phase out of what's going on. Illness does that to us. Illness saps our will to keep going. And so does grief. But with such things, with illness, with grief, sadness that comes with that, God is with us to help us to keep living out our faith. Just don't give up on Jesus. Just don't give up on that mindset which says, I will keep going with Christ, even if everything else fails and even if my emotions overwhelm me. Try and keep me down. I will live out my life with Jesus. Jesus has everything covered. He has assured everything for tomorrow. You are now forgiven, redeemed, restored, filled with His Holy Spirit, and you are equipped to do whatever is required of you to serve Him. Just make sure you keep going. Don't neglect the things that do help us to keep going. Don't neglect prayer. If you can't quite find the words of prayer, find some way. You find words in many other areas of life. Speak to God. Keep that up. Don't forget your Bible. It's not an optional extra for the keen Christians, for those who are a bit of a radical like myself. Keep it going. Keep reading. Keep learning. Keep on with the word. Keep doing the right thing and not compromising with doing the right thing. Keep on that path. It's a way of expressing your faith. Keep going with church. But the church is great and good and sunny like today, and you're warm and happy. Or when the church is going through tough times, whatever it is, keep going with God's people. Keep going with living out your Christian life on your front line. Whether that be where you work, that be with your family, your front line for your faith. That might be in your neighborhood, with people around you. Whatever your front line is, keep going. Don't neglect it. You can do it. And as the writer to Hebrews says, he's confident of better things in your case. May the Lord strengthen you, encourage you, and enable you to persevere. Let's worship together.